As we're beginning and still in our study of Romans, we will be beginning this morning with chapter 14 and go through verses 12. So that will be our study for this morning. Last study of chapter 13 had to deal with how we deal with our government and how we obey it. And today's lesson is going to be more along the line of how we deal with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. But before we begin, let's go to God with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this opportunity where we can study a portion of your word. We pray for all those of our numbers. We pray for the loss of our brother Don Smith, and we pray for others that's having upcoming surgeries or had surgeries. We pray that they will heal soon. We pray for Brother Calvin as he's going through his trying time, and we pray for Dwayne and that family as they're dealing with that. Now, as we go through our study of Romans 12, we pray that the things that we are about to talk about will be beneficial for each of us, and also we pray for those that are struggling at this time and that dealing with all things in their life and their problems, and we pray that you would be with them. So this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to begin by reading the first four verses of chapter 14. We will break them down and talk about them. It says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has received him. Who are you to judge others' servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand." So as you see, as our reading is indication, this is going to be a study about how we deal with one another, how one might be the stronger brother and one the weaker brother. But in each case, we each have a responsibility as a Christian to one another. But when we speak of a Christian being weak, this could mean one of a couple of things. First off, when we would talk about a weaker brother, the one that would be more acceptable would be a new babe in Christ that hasn't had time yet to be taught the things, or he whose faith or knowledge has not grown as it should have. But we know we have both those within a congregation. Babes in Christ who we need to help come along and help them, bring them to the knowledge of full knowledge of God. And we've got those who for some reason or other have just not grown as they should. So, but it is our duty, those of us that are strong, that are Christian, to take them through they are weak in their knowledge. We should still take them and admonish them as brothers and sisters, and in their own way. But it's a, they are not yet ready to help in the discussions and questions about the church. Because that's how, that's one of the things it says about elders. You can't be a new babe in Christ and serve as an elder. So that is some discussions of those that are weaker. We that are strong needs to know when our decision making made for the church, it has to be those with strong knowledge of God's word. Verse number 2, it says his faith will let him eat meat as well as vegetables. In other words, we're getting back to the word, a weaker brother eats no meat. That's what scripture is saying. And some things, it's got to be discussable to see who is the weak brother and who is the strong. But we can understand from what we're studying that those that only eat vegetables would be considered the weaker brother. We might think that this is just talking about the Jews from what had been taught to them from the Mosaic law about eating certain things that they were not allowed to. But this was also of some of the beliefs of some of the Greek. So the weak brother is doctrinally necessarily wrong, but it is not a matter that the stronger brother should bring up and want to debate about it all the time, or to knock the weaker brother down, everything. Right or wrong is not the important thing here. When we get into doctrinal things, then that is a different situation. But things such as eating meat or not eating meat, or things like that, if you understand, we're not to concern ourselves with those, but where there is a feeling involved, not to divide the weaker brother or to drive him away. If we go down into our further south states, it would even get into the head covering. Those who wear the head covering or those that don't. It depends on probably the way you look at it, which one is the stronger and which one is the weaker. But it's something you're not to make a big deal out of. And in verse 3, it is addressing to the strong brother now. He was not to ridicule the weak brother. So if it is doctrinal wrong, is one thing, but to attempt to laugh at him or is to be unkind will tend only to do what? To make that person more stronger into what he is believing. So then to the weaker brother that does not eat, judge the other. So whether a brother eats meat or vegetables is not a test of our fellowship. God has welcomed the meat eater, and he should also not the vegetable do the same. He's going to do the same, whether you are just a vegetarian or whether you eat whatever's in front of you. They're the same in God's sight. So no, does the vegetable require more for acceptance than God? Or should, like anything today, does that sound like things that go on today where brethren get into their articles and they write about this and they write about that and what the other brother thinks? And we have to be careful of that, of which one of us is the weak and which one's the stronger, the brother, and what does God accept? In verse 4, this also is to the weak brother now who has been judging. Or let's say, not necessarily judging, but been criticizing the other for eating meat. Look at the emphasis, you who do not think, who do you think you are? The servant, talking about someone's servant here, means a household slave in that particular time. And then that being that household slave, he fixed and he cooked the food, he took care of his clothes, he done all these things that the cook, as the slave within the house. When we think back to someone who done that, look at Joseph when he went in as a slave when his brother sold him away. That's what he done. He worked for in the house, preparing and doing. So now comes a sharp rebuke. Is it the weaker brother's place to approve or disapprove of the other brother? The servant shall stand or fall by his own master, not by somebody else. He will fall or he will stand by his own master. That's the way we are as Christians. We will either stand or fall before God, not by another brother. If he pleases his master, he will be approved. If not, he will be condemned. Paul assures all who is concerned that the stronger brother had not subjected himself to the Lord's disapproval. Does anyone imagine the Lord who would need assistance of the weak brother to help bring the strong brother around, or vice versa? Now let us begin with verse 5, and we'll read a few more verses of scripture. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let's each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live of the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, and he might be Lord of both and dead to the living. So we turn to a little bit of a different talk, but it's still along the same lines as we are, because I have known Christians who still believe in Lent. They put the mark on their, between their eyes of the forehead, and they believe in the Lent, and they practice Lent during that period of time. That's their thinking. So that's what this is dealing with, something along that line. Another untaught question is the observance of other days not set apart for worship by God. God has set the first day of the week. It's the Lord's day. It is set apart of God. This is where God has decided, and there is no doubt. There are others that want other days, such as the new moon and other days that had been sacked under the old law of Moses that they wanted to do. So if a man wishes to devote a day in a week to service God for him and his family, he may do so. But it is not to interfere with the worship God has directed on the Lord's day. We as elders, and it started way before my time as an elder, we have set aside Wednesday evening to come together to study God's word. We have special meetings for bring men in with knowledge, the whole meetings to learn. Nothing wrong with that. We're not to require others to do things that God has not commanded though. I want to look at something that I thought about as preparing the lesson. As, say, a father and his wife and his children. If this father, as a Christian, decides my family every Saturday at 1 p.m., we're going to come together. We're going to meet myself and my family. We're going to read scripture, we're going to pray to God, and we're going to sing songs, and we're going to do that every Saturday, or maybe even every other Saturday. And we set that down as what I, as the father of the family, want to do. There is nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, I think God would love a family that would do something like it. So you've set up something yourself to do, but it's not something that God requires you to do. But there's not a thing in the world about it, wrong with it. So here also we look at it when people think about elders. That's what I'm one of, elders. Elders have certain responsibilities as elders, but we have to do it within God's law. Elders are commanded, remember, to feed the flock. So we can set a time, an order, and to do things that God has commanded. Sing, pray, read scripture, the preaching, the Lord's Supper, and to give as we have prospered. That's an elder's responsibility to see that that's done. And we do that on the first day of the week. God set that up. But that doesn't mean we can't sing and we can't pray and we can't have teaching on other days. But he has set aside specifically when we partake of the Lord's Supper and when we give as we prosper, and that's on the first day of the week. Verse 6, when we regard the first day of the week, he spends it in the worshiping of God. If one fails to eat meat not required by God, God will accept us not required by God. God will accept us no matter how he acts on questions that are indifferent, such as eating meat or not required. So if it's not required, God's not going to judge us one way or the other, but he will on things that he has set up that he does require. So when we become a Christian, we must deny ourselves and serve God. That's what verse 7 is basically going into telling us. This is saying whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We are his servants of Christ, and therefore we live according to his will and not by our fleshly lust. That's where we lose our soul, is when we as Christians decide we're going to live according to our flesh, our lust, instead of live according to what God's word has to say to us. I'd like to, before we begin with verse 8, I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians and read 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, for we, mean all of us, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it is good or whether it's bad. We will all have that judgment. So in verse 8, in living according to the will of God, what we do? We live to God in his service and into his honor and to promote his glory. That's what our life has to be about. Has to be all about our service to God. In dying, we die to God. So whether living or dying, we are the Lord's. You know, we're here in the Lord's church, so we're the Lord's. When we die, we also going to be in the Lord. Neither life or death can make us cease from being his. So when we toil with our minds or toil with our hands for our bread with the sweat of our brow and doing all of to the glory of God, if we live or if we die, we belong to Christ and we serve him. That this is saying when we're out making our living, it needs to be to God. We need to do the things that God would want us to do as we work for whoever we work with. If you just use the point of a servant or use the slave, that's the way we do. We work to be honest in a godly way as Christians in whatever we do, because once we obey God, we belong to him in our service. Even though we might be working for an employer, their service is still in a godly way. And in verse 9, Christ came and lived as a man and died and then rose and lived again. This should show all of us that he is Lord of lords, ruler of both the living, and he's also the ruler of the dead. So whether we live or die, we are the servants of the Lord. Christ went into the grave showed his power over death, was raised, and then he ascended to the Father's throne and was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now we will finish with our last three verses of scripture, beginning with verse 10. It says, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account to himself to God. Each one of us is going to be able one of these days to give an account to God. Christ, the previous verses have been talking about on special days, eating of meat or living on vegetables, food. So on goes questions of doubtful disputes as to whether it is to eat meat or only vegetable food. So whether we set apart days for us to do our own worship, then God has not set apart, or other untaught or undifferent questions. So why do we reject our brother who differs from us in doing those? We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, who will judge each man according to his law. So who is the weaker brother or sister? Is the one that covers her head or the one that does not? I'm not that judge. Christ is. And in verse 11, I turn to Isaiah 45, verse 23. He says, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. And also Philippians 2, 10 and 11, beginning with verse 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The connection shows that this will happen in connection with or as the result of all standing before the judgment seat of God. It promised that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess is dependent on their standing before the judgment seat of God. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord and Christ. That is not a confession not made until then will be too late to save. What I'm saying is, when you wait to make that confession on that judgment day, that's just a little late. Those that confess and obey his will in this life, while you are living, are those that will be saved, along with doing the rest that we have to obey. In verse 12, this is the general conclusion from what has just been said. Every man shall give an account of himself. And I'm going to say man, I'm using that literally. Every man and woman will give an account. They were therefore not to interfere with and annoy one another in matters that are indifferent or untaught by God. That we're talking about matters that God has left out of in his commandment. On matters indifferent, God gave no instruction. So let's give an example. God has appointed the first day of the week for the observance of the Lord's Supper. The observance of the supper on that day is fixed. On no other day can the supper be observed. But if one wishes to devote another day to the service of God, also the reading of the Word of God and praying, he is at liberty to do so. No one has a right to object, and God has given no direction as to this. So God has ordained his church as the medium of doing his service and of spreading the gospel. This takes that away from the matters in different and places it under divine enactment. Eating or not eating meat is placed among things that are indifferent. This has been a few short verses, but with a lot into it, how we are to act and to treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you very much for listening to me, and on Wednesday evening, we will finish chapter 14. Thank you much.